UK.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and an annoyingly, stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Just because I didn't bring you any bone broth.
Just because you keep talking over me. I'll try to tell a story and she talks over me, listener.
I forget that you've got a script that you adhere to.
I've had another tweet from Tracy Ferguson, and she says, I really enjoyed the conversation with Hannah. She's so bubbly and must be a joy to chat to. She is. So good to hear her family business is continuing to thrive through the generations. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Couldn't agree more, Tracy. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and Wayne Cunnington said the same. I think you read Wayne's, didn't you? Nice to hearing about a family business continuing through a younger generation while your parents swan off to France.
Absolutely, you know. Living the best life.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Stay Connected to Maidstone Borough Council. So I think that's your patch, isn't it, Hannah Headcorn?
Yep.
See, I know all
that.
How
did you know that? Yeah. That shook me. How did you know that? You Googled it, didn't you?
No, because we said it at the beginning of the show. And I take lion's mane, you see, for my brain. Oh, there's biscuits there, people, as well. Look out for a Stay Connected pop-up on the Maidstone Borough Council website and sign up. That's if their website hasn't gone down, because Canterbury Council had a cyber attack. Did you know?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You couldn't do anything. So stay.
It worked really well, didn't it? The council was the most efficient it's ever been while they were under cyber attack.
It was quiet. Updates via e-newsletters for the many council services and events across the borough. So the regular e-newsletters are emailed directly to inboxes, and they make it easier for residents and businesses to keep up to date with all the great things happening in Maidstone. That's your me. I never read my emails. I got 46,000 in my inbox. I mean,
oh no way! That's my worst nightmare.
It's awful. Well, I delete them all, and then they all arrive again. So I've just given up. In the old days, I had a PA, but I haven't got one anymore. Anyway, more than 37,000 people have already registered across 8 different newsletters. The latest is for planning applications, which lists all the latest applications Maidstone Borough Council has received and decisions made. Environmental services, Hannah and Chris, includes tips and helpful advice, waste service updates, as well as news about what is happening in the many parks and green spaces. What's On features the many fantastic events taking place over the coming months. Consultations gives everyone an opportunity to have their say. So you can go to www.maidstone.gov.uk/stayconnected, and you can tick all the topics that you'd like to hear more about. Interesting that planning applications, and that is an awful lot going through at the moment. And as I drove in this morning, orange cones everywhere. What is going on with the roads?
Where was that on the M2?
Everywhere. No, everywhere, like from Whitstable to, where are we now? Ashford.
Yeah, I know.
And no roadworks, just orange cones all in a line and 50 miles an hour. And
Oh, did you see?
Must have bought a lot of orange cones.
Did you see in Sidcup?
No.
Loads of drivers have been fined for speeding going through the A20 at Sidcup. Yeah. Dozens and dozens of drivers all got fined. They got flashed with a camera. They got points on their licences until someone pointed out that they'd all been done for going over 40 mile an hour, but all the signs on the road say 50.
Oh, yeah, the wrong signs.
Yeah. And Sadiq Khan and Transport for London went, dunno, did that. Dunno, put the wrong signs up. Well, I mean, that's going to be a nightmare undoing that nonsense, isn't it?
Well, apparently, Sadiq Khan is planning a pay per mile for motorists, I was reading.
But first and foremost, they're going to get their backside sued off, aren't they? Because they fined people and given them points, which will affect their insurance. I mean, unwinding that mess is going to be a real trial, isn't it?
Well, we're not political on the show, are we? But I don't know how he's still voted in. I mean, when is he going?
Soon enough.
He's ruined London. I drive through London about once every 3 weeks. And honestly, on the South Circular, I'm so busy looking at 20 mile an hour and pedestrians in the dark at 4 o'clock when I'm driving in the winter, I'm so slowed down, they're jaywalking in front of me with their headphones on, not even looking, and they just appear from nowhere. And it is really bad being a motorist in London now.
Yeah,
what do you think, Chris?
No, it, we operate in the city, and it's terrible. It's unmanageable. I try to avoid it at all costs, like yourself, Jules.
Yeah.
But like you say, they're even looking to charge you to go through the Blackwall Tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Soon.
It's crazy. And if you think about the Dartford Tunnel, they were supposed to stop charging for that years ago, weren't they?
Instead, they put the prices up.
Yeah. But for businesses...
Never trust a politician, ever.
For any business, any trade that has to go to service people in Greater London and London, almost impossible now.
This is what I was kind of intimating with Hannah earlier as well, about businesses that consolidate around something they do. One of the things you have to watch out for is politicians, because they come along and they completely destabilise your business. And I've had that big time recently with one of my businesses. Some of the things that the politicians did during lockdown virtually destroyed my business. I had an incredibly successful business, 24 years old. We'd grown every year for 23 years. And then the government popped up and went, oh, you can't do that anymore. You've got to do this. And all of a sudden, overnight, the business just changed radically. Mm. So you have to adapt to those things, because politicians are a nightmare.
I got fined.
Unintended consequences of their actions.
I got fined around Lewisham, because I come back along from Barnes along the South Circular, and I entered a yellow box. Now, I'm not stupid. I'm 66 years old, so I know that you do not enter a yellow box unless you can. And I stopped. And I can't remember why I stopped, but I stopped for a reason. I seem to remember it was some bike coming through, or a red light, I can't remember. And I got fined for it. And, you know, there was a photo of me, but you can't tell from the photo why I stopped. Oops. And my husband said, well, there's a photo of you here. And I said, oh, how do I look? But, you know, I'm not... idiot. I know you don't empty in, so there was a reason. Yeah. But by the time I got the fine, I couldn't remember what it was. So it's really annoying. I hate driving in London now.
That goes back to tech, though, because they're all cameras now. We're part of our drainage company that we have.
Drainage?
So I have two companies, but I don't want to give that away to just yet.
No, I want to know.
A little teaser.
Just wait.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. But we have to stop on highways to unblock drains.
Of course.
And they're all automatic.
Yeah.
So what we've had to do is go on a list now that basically flags up and goes, this needs human intervention to verify who this is. So that's all it is, isn't it? It's just cameras.
Yeah. So you unplug drains?
Yes. Hold on, don't get previous.
Come on.
Just wait a minute.
And talk about that.
Wait for it.
Yeah.
Well, you can talk about it now, but we need to introduce him properly. I don't want you going off on one about your bloody drains. You shouldn't mention this, Chris, because now she'll be telling you about why her drains are blocked with sewage from the sea.
Here to help unblock your drains.
I like the surname, so it's Chris Guilfoyle.
That's Irish.
I knew it was, to be sure. And you look Irish as well.
To be sure.
So it was
my ginger hair.
Well, you're not ginger, are you?
It's not ginger.
Strawberry blonde, maybe. So were you born in Dublin or somewhere?
No, Dad's side is Irish. Dad was born in Ireland.
Have you been tempted, Chris, to get an Irish passport? I'm tempted, but I'm not even Irish.
It crossed my mind a couple of occasions, to be honest, but I haven't really gave it much thought recently.
I would.
Anyway.
It's worth marrying an Irishman just to get the passport now.
Why?
Because the queues, I travel a lot, and the queues now, I mean, the Spanish hate us because we've left the EU. I've got a house in Spain, and they go, I must stamp you because you have left the EU.
Just so you know, the Spanish have just introduced an ease of entry for British passports.
Have they?
Into Spain.
Well, that's very odd, because the French have said over 90 day for householders. How does your lovely son manage to stay?
Jamie.
So, because he's living there forever.
He's a resident. He's permanently resident there.
Okay. And Bear is, could he get a French passport, Bear, if he wanted?
Bear's my grandson. No, I don't think so, because he was born in England.
Okay, yeah.
Charlie, who's about to be born.
Yeah. He's been named already.
He has, yeah. Oh. Charlie's been born at Easter. He will get a French passport because he'll be born in France.
Wow.
But Jamie's resident in France and pays taxes in France.
Okay. Anyway, we'll talk about drains, but we have Chris Guilfoyle of JCD.
Mm-hmm. Cleaning
company. And I knew that was Irish. That's why...
Unusual for people to know that. That's why I mentioned it.
I'm quite good on names and things. And I do love an Irishman.
No. Let me.
Makes sense now.
Yeah. No. What she actually
you need
likes.
To stop in on an accent.
What she likes is putting on really bad accents. Yeah.
I thought it was quite good.
Yeah. Don't encourage her, Chris. Please don't.
Tracy,
Chris, just wait. Chris, right. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. We got a lot to talk to you about because you're into lots of things.
We mustn't drain him though.
Here we go.
Carrying on the theme. Yeah.
She's going to empty this for every. Yeah. And she's going to plug.
She's going to plug away.
Here we go. Pun Central. Chris, welcome to the show. JCD Cleaning. We're going to kind of follow the same format we did with Hannah. Find out a bit about you. We already know you're from a mixed Irish background and you've got a drain sideline. But tell us a little bit more about Chris.
Yeah, so I'm Chris Guilfoyle, Managing Director at JCD Cleaning, which is my oldest business. That was founded in 2011. Me, right. Dad, brother, and mum. So again, same line as Hannah.
Family business.
Family business.
Yeah.
First generation, we'd all worked in the corporate large cleaning field, which is a multi-billion pound industry in the UK.
So what is a corporate large?
So what I mean by that is your big high-rises in Canary Wharf, government buildings, anything cleaning on what I call a professional level.
Wow.
Large scale.
Huge contract.
Yeah.
Is that companies like ISS and Rentokil and people like that?
Yeah. So I used to work for a facilities management company called OCS Group UK.
Yeah,
they've just actually done a merger with Atlas Servest, and they're the biggest FM company in the UK now.
Right.
So similar size to Carillion, which ended badly in tears, as we know. But
That's
what happens with government money. So I cut my teeth in that industry.
Mm.
I think you alluded to it earlier, Paul, that it was an industry I just sort of, you know, I was in between jobs, between school. Mum's been in the industry for years. And I thought, you know what, I'll get a job as a stopgap there for 6 months to get me some beer tokens for the weekend. And I never left, and I've been in it since. So, a good 20 years experience in the commercial cleaning field.
Okay.
And we started JCD Cleaning in 2011, servicing customers across Kent, London and the South East.
Right. Okay, cool. The type of cleaning you're doing is office cleaning?
Yes, so we had extensive conversations with Jules before. We started in the domestic market. I think a lot of companies do because, as we mentioned earlier, the barrier to entry is relatively low.
Yeah.
Domestic cleaning is hard because you're in people's homes.
Yeah.
You know, they're attached to the spend.
Yeah.
Whereas offices
they walk around behind you, putting their finger across door frames.
And, you know, as Jules alluded to, you know, they sit in positions that maybe someone in an office doesn't, and they see things from a different angle. And I say it's your personal space at the end of the day. So we provide commercial and specialist cleaning to anyone with an ongoing cleaning need in a commercial premises, effectively. We don't necessarily niche down into sectors, so you'll get some that are educational-based or food-based. We service any industry, but anyone that has an ongoing cleaning need in that, like the office we're in today.
Okay. And do you tend to do contracts that are like daily, weekly-based or one-offs?
No, so both, actually, because there's synergy in the two.
Mm.
Anyone with an ongoing, so anything over 10 hours a week, so that's someone Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day, we would service. Anything below that, with the recruitment market, it's ultra difficult to get people to do 2 days a week. And, you know, so that's sort of our benchmark. In the early days, we'd take anything that'd come in.
Again, and that's a reason not to do domestic, because, you know, the domestic tends to be like 1 day a week for 2 hours, doesn't it?
And everyone usually wants it on a Friday, ready for the weekend.
I do, I couldn't get Friday, so I do Monday and Thursday, so we can trash the house at the weekend, they come back on Monday.
Makes sense.
And then Thursday to prep for the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, and everyone wants that Friday or Monday. So
offices would be a lot of evenings, surely?
Yeah, mix, to be honest, Jules. Morning and evening, and then that's client-led. It depends on the access and egress of the building and what type of people are using it. Unsociable hours, unless you're in the larger contracts, where then you've got a daytime presence, which some of our contracts do. We tip into the medium ground, shall I say, in terms of cleaning companies. So we don't touch domestic. We're sort of in the middle. Mm. Anyone with, you know, 10 hours, someone that has a cleaner every day.
Right.
And we've got contracts that have thousands of hours a week, and we've got some that have 10. So a real diverse range of, you know, hours.
Do you do windows?
We do. So they go hand in hand. And sometimes you find you get a specialist company that does windows, a specialist company that does carpet.
Mm.
But then what you find is you've got margin on top of margins where that's being subcontracted out by a contractor, which is not good for your end customer. So we try and deliver all of that in-house. Mm. The only thing that we don't deliver in-house is professional kitchen cleaning.
Right. Because that's a really targeted thing to do, isn't it? The ovens and that.
Exactly. You know, there's insurance purposes that play into that. If a restaurant, you know, burns down because of a build-up of fat, oil and grease, then you're liable for that. So that's, other than that, we do it all in-house. And as I say, you know, it's one invoice for a customer. It makes sense. It's easy to sell to someone that you're already doing business with rather than trying to acquire new customers. Yeah. So it just made sense that we deliver in that house. So we've got about 85 staff across Kent, London and the South East that do the commercial cleaning. Right. And then we have 4 full-time staff that go around and do all the specialist cleaning, window cleaning, carpets.
So, Chris, your patch is... You said southeastern.
So we've got contracts as far down as Bognor Regis, where we've got some luxury hotels, and we've got contracts as far up as Reading, which is a large commercial office. So we've got a real spread.
And where are you based, Chris?
Our head office is in Sittingbourne on the Eurolink Industrial Estate. Okay. Only a small unit, to be honest.
Right. Nice and central, though, for those areas.
We've got a satellite office in Folkestone as well, which, you know, gives us a nice spread. Right. But to be honest with you, interesting, going back to the COVID stuff, since COVID, hardly anyone uses the office. I mean, obviously, our business is done on customer sites. So we've got a head office there, but it's seldomly used. It's more of a storage facility.
Yeah. Now they all go to a co-working space called Island Works in Sheerness.
Yes.
Mm. A little plug there. Yeah. but it's true. What you say is absolutely true. So many businesses have now dispensed with their office because of the lockdown and people being sent to work at home. They realised they were locked into leases on offices they weren't using, which are expensive. And of course, once you get your gas and electricity bill and your eyes stop watering, you suddenly realise that it's better off sending people to work at home and use their own bloody gas and electricity.
Yeah. There was a bit of a worry about that, for, you know, when, because the cleaning industry halted. Everyone thinks, oh, you're a cleaning company, you must have been raking it in during, you know, COVID. Mm. It was actually the opposite, because a lot of our stuff's commercial. No one's in the office.
They weren't there, yeah.
So you've got no office to clean.
Yeah.
So how was that for you? It was a tough time because
there's that real dichotomy, Jules, of you're in a contract with a customer. They're going for a difficult time because they're probably not generating revenue. Yeah. Do you enforce that contract and still charge them?
Yeah. Mm.
Then you're going to have a retention issue when you come back. So effectively, 80% of our revenue stopped overnight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what did you do with your staff?
So, obviously, there was the furlough scheme. Yeah. Some of them were still in, depends on the environment. Yeah. Healthcare is obviously a big sector. And to be honest with you, we work with a local care home provider, and they effectively bankrolled us through COVID because they were obviously having, you know, elderly and vulnerable people.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were having their cleaning ramped up where everyone else is ramped down. So, to be fair, that particular customer, I would say, probably got us through that period.
Yeah. Absolutely, it was exactly that that did for my business, the opposite of that. You know, my clients all dried up on one day.
Yeah,
yeah. 500 clients all on the same day went, well, we don't need you anymore, we're all at home. I get it.
Crazy time.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2011 you started a business.
Yes.
So 13 years you've been going, which is cool. You've alluded to drains. We're going to come to that in a moment because we're interested
in
stuff.
We've got some puns we're going to get.
We need to flush out the story there.
I love it.
You do commercial cleaning. Explain how you do these things. Do you have minibuses and stuff like that that ship people around? Or?
Most commercial cleaning contracts are site-based.
Yeah.
So, I say, you know, your studio, it's here. We would have a dedicated member of staff that would come and service this office on a regular basis.
Yeah.
The cleaning industry is interesting for me. I'd like to think I'm a little bit of a disruptor of the industry. I like to try and shake it up and just give the reality of what the industry's like. But lots of people spout about innovation in the industry and things like that. And I like to call a bit of BS on that. The industry really hasn't moved that much because there's so many times you can reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we pride ourselves on quality. Right. There are two separators between a cleaning business, in my eyes. Quality, price.
Yeah. Mm.
We don't want to be in that price bracket because we want to pay our staff the real living wage and things like that. So the only other backdrop you've got is quality. Mm. That's difficult to deliver at the moment because the bank of staff that you're looking to recruit into is difficult. We've mentioned about recruitment.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about recruitment. So how difficult is it for you to find reliable staff? Because reliability is the key.
Well, we mentioned that, Jules, didn't we? It's ultra hard. There's no beating around the bush. You know, people, I think COVID put everybody into the unknown, where maybe pre-COVID, they were like, oh, well, I won't give up my cleaning job because I don't know what it's going to entail. And where everyone was just sort of chucked out in, you know, out on the street when COVID come round, I think people are a lot more comfortable with being uncomfortable and, you know, so for me to get, and this is just the honest truth, for me to get a good commercial cleaner now, you know, is super hard. Yeah. And it's a numbers game. We'll have 15 people apply. I'll be lucky if I get 5 turn up to an interview.
Yeah,
You know, out of the 2 that do turn up, you know, we might find someone, or we have to go through that process again. So it's tough at the moment.
Yeah.
And are you able to look overseas? Because we had, do you remember we had the hospitality recruitment and they were looking at bringing people in from South Africa and all sorts of places?
The problem is that the overseas visas start at 35,000 a year.
Yeah.
Mm. Although the government are talking about putting it down. Mm. So when you talk about hospitality or cleaning, you're at the minimum wage or even at the living wage end of the market. You're not going to be paying cleaners £35,000 a year. Therefore, you can't get an overseas workers visa. One of the problems, I don't want to put words in Chris's mouth because he hasn't said this, but for me, knowing the recruitment industry as I do, one of the problems is for many years we relied on importing labour and we paid loads of people to stay at home and do nothing. Yeah. 5 million people don't work in this country. 5 million. Yet we have 1.2 million unfilled jobs. And we were importing labour, especially into the construction industries and the hospitality industries from overseas at a time when we could import anybody and paying them sometimes below minimum wage to do it. Yeah. And a lot of big corporates got fat on that. But worse than that, it encouraged people to not want to work in those industries. Now that source of people has dried up, we're suffering. Yeah, people don't want to work. I own a chain of coffee shops. Getting people to work as baristas is really hard. Getting people to work in any form of hospitality is hard. Getting people to work in cleaning, getting to work in construction, all of those things are incredibly hard at the moment. What's the solution? I don't really know.
Chris? And it just seems mad to know that that we're looking to go abroad to get staff.
Yeah.
It's just madness, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, but when 5 million people aren't working and you just...
But it's about the work ethic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And are we now having a generation of people that have had it easy, they go on benefits, or they only work...
Yeah.
How many hours a week? 12?
16.
I don't want to get overly political about it because, I mean, and all the political parties are in the same thing with this anyway. None of them are prepared to look at this. But a lot of the problem is we don't encourage people to work through the tax system either.
No.
Yeah. It's okay saying, oh, well, employers need to pay £20 an hour. Well, that's okay if you want to pay £9 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's self-defeating anyway, because the more money you pay, the more your prices go up, so the more they can't afford anything, so the more wages. What they've got to do is incentivize it in a different way. And I don't mean by giving out free money. What they've got to do is cut taxes, cut national insurance to make it more viable for people to work.
Mm. And less easy for them just to stay at home and have their rent paid.
Well, just...
Which is what a lot are doing.
Yeah. Here's the thing that some other countries do that we don't. If you're in a couple, a married couple or a civil partnership, in a lot of Western European countries, if one of the couple doesn't work and the other one does, you double up their tax threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that the main breadwinner... It doubles their tax. It doubles their tax threshold.
Right. Yeah,
so which is great for people to stay at home and look after the children,
and somebody to earn a decent living.
Yeah,
it means the tax threshold. If we implemented that in this country, it means you'd earn $24,000 before you pay tax.
Mm.
Yeah, instead of 12. Yeah. So.
I mean, you get that a rabbit hole with, you know, do we want that? Does the government want that? Do they want both? You know, both at home.
Yeah.
Mum's at home.
Well, I think going back to when I had young kids, I worked around the kids. I taught yoga. I did anything, a bit of telesales in the mornings when they were at playgroup or whatever. But I do think that women or men need to be at home with their kids. I think it's really sad that babies get dumped off at nursery at 6 months old and that. But people have to earn to
boarding
pay the
school.
Rent.
So you need boarding school.
At 6 months
school.
Old.
Yeah, get them straight in there. Okay, enough of the politics. So
how are you going to get staff? How are you managing and what your idea
is? We're difficult with difficulty, to be honest. I mean, we try and do things different in terms of, you know, the industry's been relatively stagnant for years. Nothing really's changed. I mean, we try and do things with our business branding. So if anyone, you know, follows me on LinkedIn or anything like that, or YouTube channel, we do lots of stuff with social, try and make it appealing to a new audience, younger people. And we do that by various different ways, because at the end of the day, you know, people are getting towards retirement age and you need young blood coming in the industry.
Yeah.
And we are absolutely screaming out for young people in the cleaning and hygiene sector. And have been for many years, because it's not attractive.
Yeah.
You know, you speak to any 16-year-old, you said earlier, Paul, what do they want to be when they're older? Do they want to be a YouTuber or you know, or some, you know, or they want to do something that's, you know, way out in left field. No one goes, I want to be a cleaning and hygiene operative at the local NHS hospital. So we need to make it more attractive. And how do we do that? Well, we have to get with the times, push out more social media and just make it more attractive to younger people.
I do a program in schools called 30-30, where I take 30 businesses into a school and talk about the world of work and the world of careers. And one of the biggest issues that we face in trying to convince young people about the world of work is that they don't see that it's actually a journey. Mm-hmm. It's a progression. It isn't an end shop. Yeah. So I quite often say to people, right, who'd like to work in McDonald's or Burger King? And they'll go, oh, no. I go, it's a great place to work. Because when you ask them that, they think of burger flippers.
Yeah.
They don't think of the fact that McDonald's has the biggest logistics operation in the world. So if you actually work in logistics, unless you've worked at McDonald's, your CV is no good. You see what I mean? Yeah. That somewhere like McDonald's or Burger King has IT, they have finance, they have recipes, they have buyers, they have people that go around the world looking at cows and all kinds of things. Not just burger flippers. Mm-hmm. And I quite often use the example of Sir Tim Leahy, who was the chief executive of Tesco's, who retired a couple of years ago. He started in Tesco's as a shelf stacker. Yeah. And, you know, you start at the bottom in a job and then work your way up. And the glamour, if you like, of any industry comes when you start to move off the bottom rungs of it. But you've got to do the bottom rungs before you can do the rest of it.
People want the end goal straight away, don't they?
Absolutely.
And there's so many job roles within the industry, I think, we've said before. People, you know, when you think of it, you just think cleaning operative. But as you said, what about a buyer? Yeah. What about learning how to make the chemicals?
Exactly,
there's so many different job roles.
People don't think about it when you talk about that. You go, you need a degree in chemistry to work in the cleaning industry. Why?
Yeah.
Well, because you're developing chemical, you know, they just don't see that. They see the start point and then nothing else happens after that. And that, I think what you're saying, Chris, is absolutely true. We need to make it, you know, more incentivized to work in.
Yeah.
But we have to get people to understand it's a journey. Yeah. The fact that you start at the bottom is to find out how the business works. Then you grow once you're in the business and you can do lots of different things in a cleaning company, in a janitorial supply company. There are lots of different roles that you can do and you can move through your career doing those things.
You were saying about window cleaning. So are you able to do tall high rise with those, things where men suddenly appear on a platform at your window?
She's getting excited now.
No.
My son often sends me pictures when he's at work and these two guys just appear on a thing.
People don't understand, as I say, you know, it goes back to that perception. And I think the cleaning industry has a massive stigma around it, and that's a perception thing. And to be honest with you, it's been very lacklustre in its attempts to try and change that imagery.
Yeah.
My logic behind that is because, like most industries, the top end of it are people that have been in the industry for 30, 40 years. Mm. They're used to doing things a certain way and they don't necessarily keep up with the times. Mm. And again, you know, we go back into the whole political thing about that. And I think that's the same there. That's not to be ageist in any shape or form, but, you know, the world's changed. You know, people that are coming into the industry are different. They consume content different and they work differently. They want different things that people maybe been in the industry 40 years ago see the industry as.
Yep.
So, like, window cleaning, That's so technical. You yeah. know, there are so many different...
To not leave smears.
Yes.
So my window cleaner leaves smears as well, yeah.
He's not obviously
I'm not having much luck, am I?
No, sounds like you're having a terrible experience.
It's like the cat's done it, actually.
Yeah. That's like, again, it goes back down to pH balance in the water and things like that. There are, you know, you should be using water with no minerals in it. And there are varying several, you know, different methods. You can use access equipment. There are guys that abseil off, you know, the side of the shards to do window cleaning. It is really a technical field, yeah. more than anyone would ever understand.
Yeah. Nanoparticles.
That's it. Yeah.
Have you come across nanoparticles?
No. Well, only on telly.
At Discovery Park in Sandwich, they sprayed all the windows in nanoparticles. Yeah.
And?
So when it rains, the water just bounces off. Yeah.
Wow.
And they claim they don't need cleaning, but they do because they get dirty.
Yeah.
But they don't get wet.
You get flies, don't you? Look, flies leave like weird little spots all over the indoor.
That's their bodies.
Yeah.
Is
splattered on their window.
Flying at high speeds into the side of the building.
Splat.
Right. Wayne Cunnington has prompted me here. He says, we need a guest to plumb some new depths. Yeah. So.
Drainage.
They're all out now.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about this, this new adventure of yours.
So the cleaning industry is high volume, low margin.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
And when I've grown the business, where we've grown the business and is now self-sustaining, because that's what you want a business to be, right? As an owner, you don't want to, unless you're happy being, you know, where you want to be, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my ambitions have always been to get it to a point where it maybe doesn't need my interaction day to day.
Yeah.
So I looked at another industry would be the polar opposite end of the scale. And I come up with the drainage industry. So, you know, commercial and domestic drain unblocking, you know, toilets blocked, you get someone out. And that, the honest answer to that, was I had a blockage at my house. Very nice guy come round. He unblocked it and he gave me the bill. And I thought, right, that's it. If there's,
I could do that.
If there's ever an industry where I'm going to go into again, because it's nice to have that diversity, right? You don't want all your eggs in one basket. So that was how Grey Water Drainage was born. Right. And, that's been going 3 years now.
Okay.
And we've gone from sort of me going back into the business and being on the tools myself after 6 years of growing.
On the plunger.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, yeah. And we've got five engineers now. Again, Kent, London and the South East, and that's growing at a good rate.
Do you operate a franchise or is it?
It's grounds startup, right. You know, from scratch.
Okay.
And, to be honest with you, it was interesting doing it a second time over.
Right.
Because I'd never had no business experience. Started the business, and to be honest with you, it was on a wing and a prayer, just making it up as I go along.
Best way.
Yeah. And all the lessons I've learned and mistakes I'd made first time round, I'm fortunate enough that I've learnt them the hard way by touching the stove. And the second time round, it's been a lot easier and more fluid to get another company going because I've got that 11 years experience with the cleaning company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, with Grey Water Drainage,
that's it.
It's called, yeah. So what kind of, geographical area do you cover?
So we predominantly in Kent and London. Yeah. Some of our biggest customers are in London. We work with some well-known housing associations and other, government entities in London, doing, you know, highways and, you know, I'm talking big tanker stuff, big commercial stuff.
Because we've had quite a lot of flooding and rains, haven't we? Where I live, there was a road. It was impossible to drive down. I was trying to go home. And the springs were actually bubbling up in the road on the whole time. And where I live also, we get a lot of smelly drains where it smells very sewagey. I don't think now that they're cleaned out at all where I live in Whitswell.
We're going into political territory again there, Jules, because your local water board would have a responsibility to, you know, do their planned preventive maintenance. And the bottom line is really, I find this in central London a lot, they don't. Mm-hmm. And that's when you get issues, it's like anything, you know, something that needs to be maintained. And unfortunately, local government don't maintain it for cost reasons.
Yeah.
And then it costs them more money when they've got to do it, you know, reactively.
Absolutely,
which is crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of block drains you see is nobody's business now.
Yeah.
In roads, it happens to me all the time where I live. My house is at the bottom of a very gentle slope, but when it rains, because all the road, I live on the main A28, and because all the drains are blocked, the water just runs straight down my drive.
Yeah.
And Martin Reeves has said, listening to Business Bunker, using the hashtag BBunker, and London driving being so bad because of Sadiq Khan. He says, Charlie M_OBE.
That's Charlie Mullins.
That's the CEO of Pimlico Plumbers.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Knows better than most how bad it is and who may very well be the next mayor of London. His common sense approach to it will reverse many problems to London's driving.
Mm. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's hope so. So yeah. Charlie Mullins, I didn't know he was running for mayor. I thought it was a woman that was running.
Lots of people running for mayor.
Yeah, but I didn't know Charlie Mullins was.
No, nor did I, to be honest. But as far as I know, he sold Pimlico Plumbers.
And Tracy Ferguson says, I believe that at the point that Dartford Crossing was paid for, it was sold off,
Yeah. Hence
still having to pay. Used to cost me a fortune when I was a regional manager driving in and out of London, Kent from Essex. And don't start Mike Dennis off on the 20-mile-per-hour limit in London. Exactly. I mean, we feel the same.
I actually got a speeding fine, 3 points on my licence for doing 24 miles per hour on the embankment.
Right. All it is money making.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Terence Starr, who's also a radio presenter, says, Jules Serkin, hi Jules, sounding good as always, and mention of the launch of your partnerships. And there is a Twitter handle at Y Partnerships. It's a networking event at the Island Works at Sheerness on the 21st at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it would be nice to have a mention networking hashtag. So that's the 21st of February, 10 to 1 at the famous Island Works on Sheerness.
Yep. Martin Reeves again, another great business monkey show. I worked for Tesco when Terry Leahy, and he was amazing at his job. Nice bloke who shook everyone's hand when we met him once in the store. He said, got to go now, it's the school run. Okay, Martin, thank you for that.
Already.
And Tracy Ferguson, great conversation about misconceptions for certain companies and roles. When I worked for Tesco, people assumed I was working on the checkout. I did start off working part-time around my children. When I left 20 years later, I was the London regional manager. Never underestimate the skills you learn along the way. Absolutely, that's 100% my point, Tracy. Absolutely, you started off as a part-time worker on checkout and ended up running most of the blooming region.
Did you read Wayne Cunnington's Some Guests Plum New Death?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Very good, Wayne.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
Cool.
10 points.
Chris, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Before we finish off and you give out some web addresses for JCD Cleaning and Greywater... what do you call it?
Drainage.
Thank you. Greywater Drainage. Podcasts.
Yes.
You do a podcast.
We do. So, I'll quickly touch on that because it's a big part of what I do and what I'm known for.
Mm.
The cleaning industry, as I mentioned, needs a little bit of a shake-up, and we try and do that. We try and do lots of social media content. I do a weekly vlog on YouTube, and we also do a podcast. The reason for the podcast was there are so many that you mentioned about starting from the bottom up. There are hundreds of them success stories.
Yeah.
Hannah's been on with me. That's how we met. So we do the Cleaning Up Business podcast. You can find that on all your favorite podcast platforms. It's bi-weekly episodes. And it's not necessarily cleaning specific. We have business guests on, yeah. Marketers and everything in between. So, and that's been great for me from a networking point of view. But I say it really trying to get the industry out there and, get rid of some of them misconceptions that people have about the industry.
Absolutely. What's the podcast called?
The Cleaning Up Business podcast. As I say, you can find that on all your favorite podcasts.
Fantastic. Check it out.
Love it. I love
have
that.
Have a listen. Is it on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah. And you can get to see him as well.
Yes. The video version is on YouTube again, Cleaning Up Business podcast. So, head over there and subscribe.
Check it out.
See your ginger hair, eh, Chris?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find out more about the JCD Cleaning, yep. How do they do that?
So obviously we've got a website, like every business, I would imagine, which is www.jcdcleaning.co.uk.
Right.
And you can find us at the same handle across all social media sites, jcdcleaning.co.uk, YouTube, Twitter, etc.
And Greywater Drainage.
Yeah, again, www.greywaterdrainage.com on that one. And yeah, Kent, London and the South East, you've got a block drain, we're the ones for you.
Fabulous. Oh, I see what he did there. Chris, thank you so much. That was brilliant.
Thank you both of you for having me.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show, but for the time being, Chris Guilfoy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have some Westrum networking. We hope you can join us on February the 14th. Da-da. Is that Valentine's Day?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
For our next...
What are you doing on Valentine's Day then?
Is it a Tuesday? Well, what day
is Wednesday,
it?
Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday, yeah.
I'm not sure. New husband and I generally stay in, and we have a box. I won't be able to drink, will I? Because I'm on my detox. We normally have oysters, champagne. I cook something, you know, a little
bit of rhino horn.
Yeah, a bit of this, bit of that. maybe a bit of a bit of venison or something. But yeah, I can
a
eat
haunch.
Venison.
Do you have a haunch?
Little haunch. Yeah. Little haunch venison. So he can have the champagne, and I'll wait. I need to put the date when I can come off this on my calendar, but I know it's somewhere in March. But yeah, I don't go out. I find that the pressure of going out on Valentine's Day, if you've been with someone 30 years, sitting at a table with a candle, you know, it's a bit weird, isn't it? So I tend to stay in.
Do you?
Yeah. What about you?
I have no idea. I haven't been told yet.
Yeah. Well, you haven't done as long, have you? So it's probably not so bad for you to go out and gaze into each other's eyes. You're still at the, you know, euphoria bit, aren't you? The endorphine bit, I mean.
Yeah, we've been together 7 years. So.
Yeah, but that's still, you know,
yeah,
endorphine-y.
Because Amanda and I both work very hard, Amanda works at Leeds Castle, and I kind of swan around here. We don't see each other very much, so it'd actually be nice to go out to dinner just to say I remember you.
Yeah. But also, because of the weird diet I'm on at the moment, if I go out and spend a fortune in a restaurant, I'd just have venison haunch or steak with broccoli. You know, I can't have a pudding, and everything will be, you know, the chefs I know, they all do gorgeous stuff, so I wouldn't have the sauces.
Oh.
So I'll wait.
Oh. You reminded me.
Oh, what have I reminded you?
I need a personal chef. A friend of mine, for a birthday dinner.
When is it?
I don't know. I'll tell you
what. I know two or three.
I was trying to get hold of Graham Greene. Is he still doing it?
Yeah, he is, but he's so busy, Graham Greene. I mean, he's one of the best, isn't he?
Well, he is, and specifically what my friend wanted as well, I thought was right up Graham Street. I have dropped him a message, but he hasn't replied. I just wondered if you knew if he was still in the business.
Yeah, I asked him to do a beef... What's
Wellington.
Thank you. How do you know that? Just from
because
that?
That's what I've asked him to
oh,
do.
Oh, really? It's my favourite. And I have done beef Wellington, but it's quite a faff.
Yeah.
But I'll give you his... have you phoned him or left him?
No, I sent him a Facebook message because we were connected on Facebook, but he hasn't replied.
Well, we'll give him... But I did ask him to do a beef Wellington last year in May, and he couldn't. Didn't have a commercial kitchen at the time, but I think he has now.
Yeah, no, but...
I know a couple of other chefs.
But this is in someone's home, so it's about going there and doing it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I love a beef Wellington. Can I come? When is it?
It's not my event.
You could introduce me, just for a beef Wellington.
You want to go to my friend's birthday?
Yeah. I'll
come as well.
I go, Andy, I've found you a chef, but the unfortunate thing, I've got seven guests coming as well.
In actual fact, you must go to Whitstable because we have a family restaurant called Birdies, which is absolutely gorgeous.
I like Birdies.
And we went there for my son, Che. He's 28. We went for his 28th to celebrate in Birdies. And one, they allow greyhounds in, so Greyhound was able to sleep, you know, on her little bed next to us. And B, they did beef Wellington. Go to Birdies; it's really, really good. I recommend it.
Cool.
Family business.
Okay. My name is Sandra Dean.
You sound like Michael Caine.
I know.
Was that what you were doing? Right,
yeah. My name is Sandra
Dean. I thought
he
was in the room.
Yeah, yeah. My son, Justin Dean of Creative Motion, who has been a guest on your show a few times, suggested that I contact you. I wondered if you might be able to give our local event a shout out on your show, please. Myself, along with 18 other Kent-based artists and artisans, are participating in the Come Eat With Me event from the 10th to the 17th of February at our beautiful Rochester Cathedral. This installation is based upon the mural painting by Leonardo da Vinci, The Last Supper, where Jesus Christ reveals his impending betrayal to his disciples. Circular individual artworks will be placed around the nation's table, the Great Fenlon Oak, along with pottery of the period and within the cathedral. Artworks include icon artworks of the disciples, angels and archangels, Jesus and Mary. Each one will be painted by a different local artist representing different styles and different interests. You can find out more about this whole event by going to the website, which is Spirit Arts UK, Spirit Arts with an S UK. wixsite.com/website15. Let me give you that again. spiritartsuk.wixsite.com/website15 to find out all about that event.
And so our friend who sent us his picture, and I have to look again because I can't remember his Twitter handle, at @crypto_2dgame. He's into, I think he is into games, video games, which I know nothing about. So he says, treat yourself, Jules, and have some champagne on Valentine's. You got my permission. Life is too short. Enjoy it. Now, that is the slippery slope, isn't it? Because as my nutritionist, Christine Bickley, says, if she's listening, I said, I won't do it before Christmas. She told me to do this in October. Can't do it before Christmas. And then January is my son's birthday. And then he's moving into a new flat. And I'll take some Tattinger, darling, because he's got a little roof terrace. There's always an excuse, isn't there? Always. So, you know, I may have a little thimble for maybe.
Of course you will. Yeah, two bottles.
It's very hard, you know.
You can't just have a glass, Dave, either, can you? That's the thing.
No, but the thing is, eating and drinking is so social. We just all do it. You know, if you meet someone, let's go for a drink, or let's go to have a meal.
Well, not all of us.
No. What do you mean?
Well, not all of us go for a drink.
No, but you've got that nice ginger one I bought you now.
Yeah.
You know, even I can't have that at the moment because although it hasn't got sugar in and rubbish, it has got honey in, which, of course, I can't have at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But you could. Maybe I'll bring you my rest of my bottle.
There's lots of zero alcohol options available now, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, but they've all got saccharin and stuff, haven't they?
Okay.
I don't know about beers.
No, me neither.
No, why would you? I mean, I miss Guinness. I really miss Guinness.
They do a zero alcohol version of
that.
Yeah,
they do. Apparently,
yeah, but
apparently
what would it
really
have
good.
In it?
No, apparently it's really good. I don't do zero alcohol drinks because I don't miss alcohol, so I don't bother
no
about
point.
It. Yeah, I drink water or on a squash.
It's just
or.
Like, for me, I had a steak last night, and then that's why I had steak for breakfast, because I had remnants. I didn't eat the whole thing. And, you know, you sit down with a steak and you think, just one glass of Merlot, or, you know, I don't want to drink a whole bottle, but just one large glass, and that it goes together. And there's nothing that cuts through a steak like, you know, you can have a cup of tea with it, but it's not the same, is it? You could have a lemon and ginger. It's not the same.
No, definitely.
So it's a very part of, I think we need to try and get some social events going that aren't in a restaurant around eating and drinking all the time. Ideas.
Medway Council.
Come clean with me. That would be a good one.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Social.
And we'll bring the dusters.
Yeah. I'll come.
Medway Council helping businesses to grow their workforce through supported internships, an opportunity to learn from other businesses during a complimentary networking brunch and meet the providers who can support you in Medway. It's taking place at the Royal Engineers Museum, Prince Arthur Road, Gillingham, on February the 29th, 9:45 to 12:30. You can find out more about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada. Which reminds me, I'm actually doing an event at Ironworks on February the 22nd. Which is a free careers fair for young people on the Isle of Sheppey who are just leaving college or who are already left but are unemployed. And we've got a number of employers coming to talk to them about the world of work. It's taking place on February the 22nd, which is a Thursday, from 10 until 12:30 in the morning. It's entirely free to come along. We've got 14 employers signed up at the moment. I'm looking for 6 more. And we've got 30 young people coming along to hear about working in people's various businesses or various industries. So
you should go on that, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just going to put my hand up.
Yeah.
Put
both hands up.
If you want to come along, Chris, it's brilliant. All it is we do speed networking, basically. You get to talk to 30-odd students, 5 minutes each, about your industry and what it's like working in your industry. If you want to come along, that would be brilliant. That's February the 22nd, 10 o'clock till 12:30. Yeah. At the Island Works Dockyard Church, Sheerness. And if anybody else would like to join me and Chris, you'd be most welcome. What you got?
I was just thinking, you do a very nice toasty there, don't you?
Oh, we do.
Chris
sold.
Might like to partake.
We do a dessert toasty as well.
What is it? Mars bars and things?
No,
isn't
we
it?
Do. We do a Nutella and Snickers toasty.
Oh wow!
And we do a banana and cream toasty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely coming then.
Yeah.
See, I've got the sugar out of my system. It's not that I missed, but I do miss a Guinness or just I miss being able to not have what I want when I want it. And I bought my new husband. He had a bit of a cold, and I bought him blood oranges and just nice things. And I'm only allowed a Granny Smith, a green apple, which is my worst kind of apple. So I'm for desserts. I'm cooking Bramley Kentish. It's nice. I would cook that, but I can't have any you know, honey on it, or so just it's that, quite.
Yeah,
I'm allowed berries though. Berries are, you know, berries are good, but not an orange or anything, or not dates. I love dates. Lychees, I bought him, not allowed them. But it's only 90 days. We have a business terrace, and they're asking about your marketing strategy. Have you got it right for 2024, they're asking. Discover your secrets to crafting a customised marketing strategy for your business. It's a vital document that helps you pinpoint your place in the market, establish your unique selling proposition, and find your routes to your target audience. You can join Stacey Petty from Let's Do Marketing for this free deep dive into your marketing strategy. And it is on Thursday the 8th of February, so this week, 10 a.m. to midday. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar and you can register for it there.
Fantastic. We've reached the end of another show.
I could see you waving your glasses.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure to hear from Hannah Tilley of Chartway Janitorial, Chris Guilfoyle of JCD Cleaning and Grey Water Drainage, and the Cleaning Up Podcast. No.
Cleaning Up Business Podcast.
Yeah, Cleaning Up Business Podcast.
Halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Suckin. We'll be back with another show next week. Stay safe and well and happy, everyone. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.